Psalm 5. This is David that we're going to be listening to. But there are times when you read through these Psalms, you will recognize the heart of the Messiah. You will see it. The heart of Jesus Christ. You will see the things he's got to say. But let's take a look. First of all, we read this. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Words without heart don't do any good. I hope you know that. Words without a heart behind them, they're just words. Those three verses are a simple prayer of faith from, notice, a yielded heart. And although we just read those three verses quickly, notice those words are filled with expectation, aren't they? Simple prayer. Listen to me. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider. I mean, oh, wait a minute. God, who created everything, who is the creator of all, the author of it all, God, who is almighty and above everything and above all, this man says, please listen to my words. I don't know how else to say it, the psalmist says. Listen to the words that I use. I'm doing the best I can. Consider my meditations. Have you ever, if you haven't, could you maybe later on today or tomorrow or something, meditate on God's word? Sit still, sit really quietly, and say, Lord, would you listen to me for a moment? And then just sit still and don't make a noise. As God considers the meditation of your heart. As he considers what's in your heart without you even speaking a word. Give ear to my prayer, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Jesus says, don't be like the heathen, because they think they will be heard for their much speaking. And don't be like the hypocrites who love to be seen when they pray. Go somewhere all alone. No show, no noise. In the King James, he says, go into your closet. Now, he doesn't mean where you're hanging your clothes, but I mean, if that's your only quiet place, get in there. That's fine. Where are you? I'm in the closet. What are you doing? It's all right. Praying. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. Please listen to my words, O God. He is pleading with God to hear him. And he's also pleading with God to answer. Notice. But he goes on and he says, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For I pray, I cry unto you only. To you only. My voice you will hear early. I'm sorry, that's what it says. That's exactly what it says. I'm going to catch you before you get busy. I'm going to catch you. I'm going to cry out before this whole thing starts. And how many of you have found out the hard way, that if you don't do it right in the early, early hours, it's hard to get it done. Have you noticed that? Because the lights come on, the sun comes, well, in Idaho, the snow comes on, and here it goes. The phone comes on. It's all sales calls, every second one or so, whatever. And here it is, and you thought, I was going to pray, and it's hard to find the time. People, you say to people, have you been praying? Not like I should. It's so hard to find the time. No, it's easy to find the time. Check out 4:30. Check it out. See how your phone doesn't ring at all. Now you don't have to be 4:30. 5 is fine. 4:45 is all right. 6, that's good. You know, the truth is, in the morning, nothing's happened yet. Is it? His first thoughts, he says, his first actions, and his first words will be toward the Lord. First thing. I've had people tell me, well, I do that. I say, that's good. They say, oh yeah, when the alarm goes off, I hit that alarm, and then I lay there in bed and pray. You know what would happen to me if I did that? Yeah, that's right. I would look at the clock and it would say 6, and then I look at the clock again, that would say 7:30. And how much have I been praying? No, I've been praying in tongues, you know, really loud, snoring. No, not for me. It may work for you. Go for it. Whatever works for you, do it. But if I hit the alarm, I've got to move. Got to get up and got to hit the floor running. Got to go. Got to boogie. I'm going to lay back down. And then I'll start thinking things. Well, I got to do this, and make sure I do that. I have to remember to call, what's his name today? Ooh, someone's coming in. I forgot to, oh, I'm not ready for that. Maybe I've been, and that's it. Now it's gone. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto you I will pray. I will. It's a promise, Lord. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer to you, and I'll look up. I will look to you. His first thoughts, his first actions, toward the Lord, first thing. You can do it lay it down, you can do it standing up, you can do it kneeling down, you can do, well, whatever works for you, do that. For you, verse 4, you are not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with you. The foolish shall not stand in your sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Notice those next three verses. First he says, please listen to what I'm saying. Please listen to what's on my heart, even when I'm not speaking. Listen to the meditations of mine. Early, I'll get you. I'll get you first thing before the whole world gets going. I'll cry out to you early. I need you to hear me and answer. And I know that you are not pleased by wickedness. I don't know if you guys knew that, but that doesn't please God. When I am wicked, that does not please Him. He's not happy with that. Now, there are excuses. We've got our reasons. But the truth is, as soon as you say, I am His, it doesn't please Him. He's not happy. God is not pleased by wickedness, no matter what the situation is. And so remember that. And we're given 6 things here. First, God has no pleasure in those that do wickedness. Notice that. Second, they do not dwell with Him. You can't abide under the shadow of the Almighty, neither can I, if we're going to live and walk in wickedness. Third, He sends them away. Not only do they not dwell with Him, but He sends them away from Himself. The Bible says, we're reading there. Fourth, His heart turns from them. The way it's put is, He hates their works. He hates the workers of iniquity. Number five or fifth, his hand is turned upon them. Isn't that what it says? Yeah, it says he will destroy those that speak lies, those that walk in wickedness. He will destroy them. And sixth, his spirit rises up against them. They are alienated from him. I'll read it to you again so you can make sure I'm not making this up. You are not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with you. The foolish shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy them that speak lies or leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. To abhor means to put away, cast away. They are alienated from God. Notice, the psalmist says, I want you to hear me. I want you to listen to the words that I say. Hear my heart when I cry out to you. And I want you to know that I understand and I remember you're not happy with the wicked. You're going to cast the wicked away. You're not going to be near me if I live in disobedience to you. I know that you're not going to listen. I know that it's not going to please you. And I understand that you won't let me dwell near you. And so what he's doing is saying, I don't want to be that way. I want you to hear me. And I know, I realize. So you and I could say the same thing, I hope. Lord, I want you to hear me. And I realize that you don't want me to be renegade. That you don't want me to be disobedient. I realize that. I know that you don't allow the wicked to dwell with you. But I want to dwell with you. I want to be close. So, of course, the psalmist later on is going to say, search my heart. Because I don't know my own heart, search my heart and try me. And see what's there and help me out. Verse 7 says, but as for me, notice he's not one of the wicked. He says, I'm not going to be that way. I don't want to be that. I realize you don't want that. As for me, verse 7 says, I will come into your house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. David here stresses the mercy of God. And we that are Christians are so glad that he is so merciful, aren't we? He is. And David says, look, as for me, I come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. When I come into your presence, it's because of your mercy, and I'm thrilled with it, and I recognize it. He says, I'll worship you. I will worship toward your holy temple. In thy fear, I will worship you toward your holy temple. I'll worship toward your holy temple. David is stressing God's mercy. And he says, he'll worship the Lord in sincere reverence. In fear. Do you come before the Lord recognizing who he is? Knowing why you and I are even allowed to be there is because of Jesus Christ. Nothing in me, that Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I can come before the Lord because of Jesus Christ, and I know it, and it's by grace through faith, and for eternity we will praise the Lord and be in the presence of the living God because of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so David is saying that, God's mercy, because of your mercy, I come into your presence. And I worship you, Lord, in sincere reverence. And that means the proper heart. What's the proper heart position? You know, when you worship God, you can be sitting down. You can be standing up. You can be kneeling down. You can be laying down. You could be driving in your car. You could be walking down the street. You could be riding your motorcycle or your bicycle. You could be working. It's the position of your heart that the worship is all about. And what is the worship position of the heart? Bowed down before the Lord. as David says. He says, in your fear will I worship toward your holy temple. In humility and in reverence, bow down before the Lord your God. Listen to me, Lord. Even when I'm still before you, listen to my heart. Consider my meditation. For unto you will I pray. My voice you'll hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning, while I direct my prayer to you, I'll look up. And I remember that you're not going to put up with fakeness, with the wicked. I remember that, Lord. As for me, he says, I come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. And in your fear will I worship toward your holy temple. In reverence, we come before the Lord. Then he says, lead me. Verse 8 says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. He says, my enemies are watching me. Remember, his son was after him. Everybody had kind of forsaken David except for a few. He was all alone except for a few. My enemies are watching me, he says. Lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies. Help me to do the things that are right because they're watching me. And you see, they're watching me not because they care. They're watching me because they want to see me fail. They hope that I will fall. And so, Lord, you got to lead me in your righteousness. Because that's all they want, is to see me stumble and fall. Their speech is flattering on the surface. Notice that. But in their hearts, there's deceit. They want my destruction. They want me to lose. They want me to fail. Now, of course, David is crying out with his heart, saying, oh, they're saying nice things to me. But Lord, those are flattering lips. They don't really want me to do well. They want to see me die. They want to see me fail. They hope that I will. So some people in this area that I've gotten some emails from who hope that this ministry will fail. They want it to fail. I have friends who tell me that they love me, who hope someday I'll step out too far and it won't work. So that they can say, ha. Haven't you ever had anybody treat you that way? They'll say they're Christians, but they sure hope something happens to you. Do you hear who's crying out? It's Jesus Christ. Did you hear his voice there? Let me read it again. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. They wanted to see Jesus fail. They wanted to see him mess up. Some of the Pharisees followed him, hoping they could catch him in his words or in his actions. Somehow, let's see this guy mess up. And that's what David was saying. You see the heart of the Messiah. Christian, don't be surprised when others who call themselves your friends want to see you fail, want to see you fall, want to see you stumble so they can go, oh, where's your God now? Oh, Mr. Holy. Oh, Miss Holy. Oh, just listen to the Lord. He says, lead me, O Lord. Don't let this get you. You see, the things that the devil does, that are designed to destroy your life, God will use them to bring Himself glory and to build you stronger and to build you up and increase your faith. Don't let it happen. He says, verse 10, destroy them. Oh God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in you. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor and will surround him with a shield. Those that rebel against you, God, hold them guilty. And you realize that the time is coming when there is a judgment day. And God will hold accountable everyone who dies in their own sins. Everyone who says, I'll pay for my own. Everyone who says, I'm going to hell with my friends. Everyone will stand before the king. And at that point, God will not hold them innocent. The only ones that will be forgiven will be those who have said yes to Jesus Christ. And so he says, hold them guilty. Those that choose to fight against you, against your will, against your word. But just as opposed to that, those that trust in you, Lord, let them be full of joy. Let them rejoice. Bless and protect them just as you have promised. Those that love the Lord are those that put their trust in Him. Have you put your trust in Him? I mean your trust. If you've put it in the economy, then from one day to the next, you're probably a basket case. True? If you've put your trust in mankind to solve every medical problem that there is, and you're waiting, you're hoping that you don't get the diseases until they find the cures for them. If you're doing that, you're probably not real happy a lot of the time, and you're afraid to breathe the air. But those that put their trust in the Lord, let those rejoice. If you could put yourself completely into the hands of God, come what may, no matter what kind of weather, no matter how it works around you, if you can just trust in the Lord, nothing can get to you, nothing. Let all those who trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout for joy. What does Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, Philippians. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. To put your trust in Him means that you love Him and you place Him or yourself in His hands. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him as with a shield. The Lord will defend those that put their trust in Him. And you have seen it. Look at Jesus. He died on the cross and His enemies thought, we got Him. He's dead, man. This whole movement is gone. He rose again the third day. They had a problem on their hands. They have not been able to stop it since. Christianity grew so large that the only way they felt they could handle it was to make it legal. That's how they kind of wrecked it up. They made it legal in the Roman Empire. And then because it was getting too hard to fight them. And so if you can't fight them, Satan thought you can't fight them, join them. So he joined. Satan joined the church way back there in the 300s, early 400s. He joined. Card-carrying member. The Lord will defend those that put their trust in Him. He will be your shield of defense. You say, it doesn't feel like it. Well, don't base it on what it feels like. Base it on what He said. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is what He says. This is what I believe. He will bless those that are righteous in Him. And the thought continues on. In chapter 6, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. Now notice, these two psalms, you put them together. Help me, Lord. Listen to me. Hear my heart. Sometimes I don't even know what to say. I know that wickedness is not going to work with you. And so that I don't want to be a part of that. But there are people who call themselves my friends who want to see me fumble and fall. They want to see me lose. They hope that I'll fail. Bothers people when it always goes your way. You keep stepping into it and coming out smelling like a rose. And that bothers people. And they figure one of these days you're going to get it. Well, you're not. And as he continues that kind of thinking, notice it brings his heart around to say. He looks around himself. He sees the wickedness on every side. He begins to look at his own self. He sees his own need for mercy, for grace. He recognizes sin in his own heart. He recognizes weaknesses and problems in his own life. And you do that when you sit all alone before the Lord, don't you? When you sit all alone. I mean, not when someone's there telling you how ugly you are. That's fine. You can listen to them and agree or disagree. Whatever. That's fine. That works for some. Doesn't work for others. Who cares? But when you get all alone before God, He doesn't beat you on the head. He just starts talking to you. And you notice, and you say these, Owa Tajer Kayem. Say it faster. Owa Tajer Kayem. And you start to notice it. Thought I was speaking Chinese or something, didn't you? He sees his own need. And he cries out in repentance, doesn't he? He says, even my physical body is being impacted by what's going on inside me. We're not shocked at that, are we? We see that quite often. When people are under stress, when their lives just aren't what they really ought to be, there are a couple of ways to handle it. Drugs or the Lord. Now, drugs can always come after the Lord, but if the Lord comes first, you'd be amazed at how that works. And what he's saying is, my physical body is being wrecked up. You gotta work in my heart. Help me. My physical body is even being affected by this that's going on around me. He says, my bones are in agony. Haven't you ever felt that way? Maybe you've had the flu or something. I mean, even sitting there, you just felt miserable. My bones are in agony. And that means his body is completely racked with pain. And he cries out and he says, how long? And he doesn't finish the thought. Simply, how long? Calling for God's help and calling for God's deliverance. Now, part of this, again, you hear the Messiah crying out, don't you? When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said, and you'll see it in the Psalms, I could feel all of my bones. You know, the next time you really just don't feel well, that's not a sin. There are going to be times when your physical body just isn't working right. But you stop and you think, Jesus Christ felt this way and worse. The next time somebody cheats you, it doesn't feel good, but you stop and think, Jesus Christ was cheated and worse. The next time someone rebukes you or even leaves you alone and you're all by yourself, the next time it happens, you stop and think, Jesus Christ was rebuked, They called him demon-possessed. They called him mentally ill. And he was left all alone to suffer. And here, he says, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake." What did Jesus say on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? He says, in death, verse 5, there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. He's saying, I'm sweating so profusely that my bed is soaking wet. I water my couch with tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. It grows old because of all mine enemies. He's talking about physical difficulties that he's having. This is David crying out to the Lord, saying, work in my heart. And this is how I'm feeling. So the next time that you say, my goodness, my body is killing me. Well, you know, sometimes someone comes along and says, brother, if you had faith, go tell that to somebody else. What I'm going to do now is not listen to you. I need to cry out to God. I'm going to tell God, just like David did, man, my body hurts, Lord. I'm hurting here. No complaint, just crying out to you. Help, he says. But we see Jesus Christ here also, don't we? Out of the depths of despair, there was a cry for mercy here. Notice that? There was a cry for mercy from his very soul, from his heart of hearts. And I think that you're seeing the suffering of Jesus, God's only begotten Son. David went through this emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, just so that a prophecy could be spoken. And you see Jesus Christ, and you hear the Lord. In Isaiah 52, verse 14, we read this. As many were astonished at thee, speaking about Messiah, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He was beaten so severely, you couldn't recognize him. Psalm 42, verse 3, says, and this is Messiah, prophecy of Messiah, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Do you remember them yelling at Jesus on the cross? He was there for 6 hours. Remember them mocking, saying, where's God now? Save yourself. Where's your God? What's this all about? Come on down from there if you're the Son of God. Remember how they made fun? Where's God? How many of you as Christians have been in a situation where it is really, literally collapsing all around you? And your so-called friends look at you and say, where's God now, huh? Oh, I thought you were a Christian trusting in God, and look at you. Psalm 38, verse 10. Messiah again speaking, my heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. Now I'll read you again these verses. I'll go back to verse 7. My eye is consumed because of grief. It grows old because of all mine enemies. You're seeing a prophecy of what will take place when the Son of the living God will come to earth to save all of mankind. He will show up and he will be born in this little town of Bethlehem. And he will grow up before the Lord, and he will be called a Nazarene because he will grow up in Nazareth for most of the years of his life. And he will be despised by mankind, and he will be rejected. Even his own people, the Jews, will reject him and turn their backs on him. And yet he will continue to obey his father and go to the cross and die and shed his blood for the world. That whosoever should believe in him or would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is God, the Son. He's alive. He rose from the dead. And you can have eternal life by giving your heart, trusting in the Lord, loving him and placing yourself in his hands and under his control. You see this in verse 8. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Remember, Jesus rose from the dead. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. He says, get away from me, you enemies of mine, for God has heard my prayer. God's going to handle it. Have you left it in his hands? It doesn't matter how ugly it is. It doesn't matter how big it looks. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. All you and I need to do is leave it in his hands. It may not turn out the way I wanted it to. And that's what I hear many Christians saying. But I prayed and it's still this way. Listen, let all those who trust in you rejoice. It didn't say, let all those who get their way rejoice. Let everybody else whine. We trust in God. We say, but it's not going the way I had prayed. It's not going the way I had wanted to. But if you believe that God is almighty, then deep in your heart you know it's going the way that he will be glorified. That he will be honored. You know that he can take this dust and make something out of it. He took dirt and made man. You know he can take this mess and make something out of it for his glory. You know he can. Our problem is we can't see what he's going to do, and so we can't imagine what he's going to do, and therefore he can't do it. No, it doesn't work that way. He can do it. Get away, all you enemies of mine, for God has heard my prayer. Hebrews 5:7. Speaking about Jesus Christ, says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. I'm going to read that again so it'll make sense to you. Speaking about Jesus, remember this verse. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Why? Because verse 9 says, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Now, remembering that, go back to Hebrews 5:7. I'll read it again. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, offered them up unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Notice, Jesus humbled himself before his father and cried out. Isn't that what we just heard at the beginning of Psalm 5? We humble ourselves and we cry out, recognizing in Psalm 6 that in our own hearts there could be problems. So we want the Lord to take care of those problems. Recognizing that God isn't interested and not happy with the wicked. And so we're not going to live in wicked circumstances or lifestyles and expect God that's going to just let that go. You realize God's going to deal with it. But Jesus Christ cried out to God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he cried out, it's finished. Paid in full. And remember what he said. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Even if this takes me to death, I'm yours. I'm in your hands. The circumstances that you and I are in, as we read through Psalms, you're going to see some amazing prayers. And those prayers will be a lot like what you're thinking. Maybe and you go, oh, those are good words. I could use those. Those fit my circumstance. A lot of times they do. We need to cry out to God. We need to love Him with our whole heart, whole soul, whole strength. We need to trust Him. Because it's falling apart around us. It is unraveling. It is collapsing. We do not know what will be next. We don't know what our health is going to be. We don't know whether we'll be standing here alone tomorrow or not. We do not know what will be. The only thing that we are sure of is that God is good. And that He is right there. And that everything that comes into my life has to pass through Him for permission. Everything that is going on in your life right now had to come through Him for permission. And if He thought it would do you no good and it would bring Him no glory, it wouldn't be happening. So if it's happening, put your trust in Him. And notice the results of putting your trust in Him and crying out. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. So enemies, watch out. God is listening to me, He says. Jesus could say the same thing. And He does in the book of Revelation. You had better turn. I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me. Doesn't He say that? The judge of the earth is coming soon. Now's the time to place yourself in His hands. I don't see anywhere where He says, Bob, you walk with me and it'll be all sunshine. You'll be always healthy. You'll be rich. You'll be everything everybody wants you to be. There is nowhere in here that I see that. But I can show you verses that say just the opposite. If Jesus was despised and rejected, and you really want to follow Jesus, what do you figure might happen to you in the long run? You might be despised and rejected too. And if they mistreat Jesus, then what do you figure could happen to you in the long run? If you really want to follow Him, they could mistreat you too. And Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let that person first deny themselves. There it is. There's the whole Bible study. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow. Denying self seems to be the one thing that we can't get through because it's scary. I don't like flying in planes. Not because I'm afraid to fly, but because I can't control them. Oh, it's frustrating. And I know Jeff's this way. You get near a computer and something's wrong with it. You ever get near a computer and something's wrong with it? You have no idea what you're doing, but you want to sit at it and do it yourself. Nobody ever feel that way? You don't? Let me try. Well, you're stupid. Well, I don't know, but let me try. Well, now you broke it. Well, you ever notice how you and I have no idea what we're talking about? But if something goes wrong, plumbing, the plumber was over there when the building was being built and he couldn't figure out something. I'm standing there and I can't even spell plumbing. I go, did you try this? And the guy goes, heal him, Jesus, heal him. You know, because we want to be in control of it. Why do you think husbands and wives fight? We'll talk about that Sunday. They want to be in control of it. Had a young man come to me. I'll tell you the same thing Sunday. Young man, been married 3 years. This is kind of cool. I never put it into words, but he said it so well. He said, I got to talk to you. So what is it? He goes, I can't think. I said, what do you think it is? He goes, my wife. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I used to think all the time. I used to have a thought that was mine. And now I'm sitting there and my wife goes, what are you doing? And I'll go, nothing. Why? I don't know. Then think about it. Well, think about it. He goes, oh, okay, what should I think? We'll talk about that. 1 Corinthians 7 covers that well. But see, we all want to be in control of it. We want to run it. What did Jesus say? Deny yourself. Take up your cross every day and follow. Cry out to God. Trust in Him. These are difficult times. Church is hurting. It's difficult. It's under attack. Pray about these things. We're going to bow our heads now and we're going to share communion together. So when you get that bread and that cup, you hold on to it and we'll take those together. Let's just bow our heads.